can save the day.
Welcome to Mighty House. This is a radio show for people with problems. Home improvement problems, that is. Send an email now to Robbie@MightyHouse.net or call into the show at 877-711-5611. From foundation leaks to roof repairs, the Mighty House team is on the job. You're listening to Mighty House.
Lives are Mike.
No.
I'm Ron Cowgill, and the Mighty House team is back. Join us on Facebook Live right now, brought to you in part by Roofers and Waterproofers Local 11, Smart 265, Mr. Floor, and Maggie Rad. We're broadcasting worldwide and live, MightyHouse.net, TuneIn.com. We're also on the Gab Radio Network. Just look for Mighty House Home Improvement Show. Podcasts and preview shows available at MightyHouse.net, Stitcher, iTunes, SoundCloud, and on HomeImprovementUSA.com. Find links to all of them at MightyHouse.net. Video clips of the show are available at MightyHouse.net and on our Mighty House YouTube channel. And you can follow us on Facebook by looking for Mighty House Home Improvement Show. And our Twitter handle is at Mighty House. And of course, you can give us a call on the Mr. Floor helpline. It's 877-711-5611. And you will have a chance to win your choice of Mr. Floor cleaning products. They're all non-toxic and environmentally safe. And you can learn more at MrFloor.com. And of course, you can join us on Patreon. Patreon.com/Mighty House, and we've got the Klein Tool giveaway, plus other neat things that we'll be rolling out here over the winter. So you can join us right there. And are you back on there, Rich?
I am.
Okay, let's... Jeff had a question there. Hey, Jeff, you're on Mighty House. Thanks for hanging on. Are you there? Jeff? Can you hear me now? Jeff?
No.
Jeff?
Hello.
Okay.
Jeff.
Let's go. We'll put him back on hold, and Trixie can work on that. Let's go to the next call. Mr. Novak, are you there?
I'm here.
Hey!
I don't know where everybody else is, but hi, guys. How are you?
Hi, Mike Novak.
We're awesome.
That's good. Wow, and you're all together?
Yes.
You got the band
first
back together, so that's cool.
Yeah, like Rich just said, it's been a month since we've all been in the studio together, so it's...
fantastic.
Yeah, no, it's going good.
Let's get to work.
Yes, now it's time to do a show. So,
I got to tell you, I'm so proud of you. You know, when you're there... all your promotional stuff gets read on a regular basis, and you let people know what where your podcasts are and where you can pick up the program. And of course, I drop the ball on that every week. So I have to listen to your show to figure out how to be a real broadcaster.
Oh, is that what it is? Well, you're listening to the wrong show, then, buddy.
You just need to have the ins and outs the way he writes them, and then we're good.
Yeah.
Well, at least he has a script. It's a regular script. That's the problem with me. It's I'm always winging it, so I never know what's going on.
Oh, see, there you go.
Just go in studio and just do the, just record them then. And then, when they tell you there's a minute, just hit play.
Right.
Sit back and go for the ride.
Yes.
Exactly. I'm going to be talking to our meteorologist, Rick DeMille, tomorrow and saying, what's the deal with this? With these temperatures? This is the middle of October, and he wrote to me yesterday, and he said the temperatures are like December, like the beginning of December. I said that's a little early for me.
Yeah, well, last week it was July, though, right?
Does he still classify as global warming?
he calls it climate variability. Uh-huh. He has never been.
That's probably a good phrase.
Term global warming.
Yeah,
me either.
This is what we're. Hey, and you, Rich, of all people, should understand climate variability. You just had a hurricane through there, and that's what we're talking about. And that's one of the things he'll talk about tomorrow is how a hurricane like Michael could ramp up from a bunch of thunderstorms. to a Cat 4, nearly a Cat 5, in the matter of a couple of days. It was pretty stunning, wasn't it?
Yes.
I'm kind of curious, Rich, what were the people in Florida thinking as they're watching it day after day and going, uh-oh, this thing looks worse.
Well, see, that's the thing about hurricanes. We get a week's notice or better. So, you've got time to get things boarded up, get your stuff packed up, hit the road. So I'm not worried about hurricanes at all. I don't like tornadoes. Those, you're lucky if you get 10 minutes warning. You know what I mean? And they're 300 mile an hour winds. I mean, you get near a tornado, you're done. So hurricanes are really not much of an issue. But you know, the other thing they didn't cover this year, we didn't have a lot of hurricanes like they thought we would this year. And the biggest reason why was there's a huge amount of dust blowing off the African continent over the Atlantic. And as long as that dust is in the air, and there were dust maps they would show down here, as long as that dust is in the air, you can't develop these storms. As soon as that dust settled, the hurricane started up.
Huh.
So there's the whole thing is global. It's amazing how that's why like a weather computer or trying to do the predictions or when they do the spaghetti plots, that there's so many variables that it's still in its infancy, the predictions.
Exactly.
Sure. Well, you know, Rick will tell me, I'll say, what's the weather going to be like next weekend? He says, that's too far out. I don't want to go on a limb. I mean, but he generally knows anyway. He'll say, well, this is what we suspect. But as you know, it can change from day to day.
Oh, yeah.
So the last 2 days, I've been out in my backyard grabbing my tropical plants and getting them indoors. Now, in the city here, I don't know if you had frost out your way.
Oh, yeah. No, there was frost on the pumpkin this morning.
Yeah, I didn't see any here. And we get a little of that heat island effect in the city. And it's probably, we're hovering, I haven't looked at the temp here, but probably hovering just above freezing. Still, your tropicals aren't very happy if it's 34 degrees. That doesn't make them happy. So
if people did not bring their tropicals in, is it too late? I mean, can they bring them in today?
Well, it depends where you are. I mean, if they're in a sheltered area, they might survive. They might sulk a little bit. It depends on the plant. I have found that, for instance, hibiscus plants are pretty tough. They'll take a licking and keep on ticking. Nice. But if I had a Diffenbachia out there or some other plants, you know, I've got a beautiful avocado plant. Now, it does not produce avocados, but it's as tall as I am. It's like 6.5 feet tall.
Jeez.
And I grew it from a pit. If I left it outside, it would really sulk. It would really not be happy, and it might take a severe hit. So I was hustling to get that thing in here because I've spent too many years getting it to grow this big to let it go and take a chance. So
did you get any avocados off of it yet, or is it less than 7 years old?
Is there what yet? I'm sorry?
Do you get any avocados off of it yet?
Because
me they got to be 7 years or older to get.
Well, and also, let's not forget that at this time of year, so October, November, it goes indoors, it gets a lot less light, it really slows down. So it's not like you guys where you grow them and it's growing all year long. That's the problem with a lot of these plants that you grow in a pot. And even though I take it outdoors and in the summer, it's really happy and it starts producing all these leaves and gets really lush. It can't sustain it into the fall because I have to bring it indoors under lower light conditions. And so the energy really ramps down unless I put a grow light on it. I'm thinking of putting one of my Happy Leaf LED grow lights above it and see what happens over the winter. Maybe I can sustain that growth, and maybe I could get some avocados on it. I don't know.
But that's like putting your plants on crack. That thing will be 10 feet tall if you put that light on it.
Nice.
I think you're right. Those lights are great.
They're incredible.
But, you know, I usually save them for the spring when I'm getting my tomatoes going.
Yes.
So at some point I would have to, I have to get more lights. If you know, it could be I have my whole living room filled with Happy Leaf grow lights, and then nobody will ever get to sleep in the house.
Correct.
So.
Yeah. No, those things really work good. Go ahead.
I was thinking, I was just going to say the other thing that I've been doing the last couple of days is harvesting tomatoes. Again, if we don't get down to freezing, Rick says it's going to be back in the 60s next week. Some of those could probably stay on the vine and keep going a little bit. But I sort of split the difference. I said, okay, if you're starting to turn red, I'll bring you in just because I don't want you to get a hit from this cold weather. I didn't harvest everything. I kind of split the difference. So it's kind of an experiment. I'll see what happens. when we pull through this, and if it gets warmer, and whether the plant can keep going for, you know, it's only going to be another week or two, probably. Right. So we're basically at the end of that part of the growing season. But kale, you know, keeps on rocking. Brussels sprouts actually appreciate a little bit of frost. It makes them a little sweeter. So there are still plants that that you can continue to harvest in your garden.
Okay, so we just went and picked on. We've got all these green tomatoes. Maybe you can tell us what we can do with that next. Will they ripen? What do we got to do to them? But we got to take a quick break. We're on the phone with Mike Novak from the Mike Novak and Peggy Malecki Show. It's on tomorrow's Sunday mornings from 9 to 11. We'll be back right after this.
This is Mighty House. Mighty House will return.
Here I come to save the day.
Here they come to save the day. This is Mighty House.
Follow us on Facebook by looking for Mighty House Home Improvement Show, and our Twitter handle is at Mighty House. And everyday mistakes are made by untrained employees and unlicensed contractors who take advantage of homeowners who are looking for a good deal and to save a few bucks. Roofers and waterproofers, Local 11 contractors, put their customers first by employing men and women who go through extensive hands-on, classroom, and on-the-job training. The difference between a union and non-union contractor is the fact that a union contractor is a contributing contractor, which means the union contractor invests in employees, training, family health care, retirement, and professional standing in the industry. So if you're looking for a contractor, choose union labor and be a part of the solution. Visit rooferslocal.org for more information. And you can give us a call on the Mr. Floor helpline. It's 877-711-5611, and you will have a chance to win your choice of Mr. Floor cleaning products. They're all non-toxic and environmentally safe, and you can learn more at
mrfloor.com.
All right.
Awesome.
We've got Mr. Novak on the line here, and we were talking before the break there. I went ahead and picked everything because of the frost coming, and so I picked all the tomatoes, all the green beans and peppers and everything. So one is, what can I? Are those things going to change, or can I donate those somewhere to a food pantry? What can I do with all that food that I just picked?
Well, you know, if you like to cook, you're going to make fried green tomatoes or green salsa, green tomato chutney. I mean, there's all kinds of different things.
I've never had fried green tomatoes in my life.
If you want to get them to a place that can use them, you take them to a local pantry, and one of the ways you can find out about that is going to places like Local Harvest, which is at localharvest.org. You can also go to a guy at the an organization that we talked about on the air just a couple of weeks ago, ampleharvest.org. And both of these organizations can give you maps where you have pantries that you can donate food to, and people appreciate that. But you mentioned the green beans. Oh, my goodness. We harvested three helpings of green beans in the last 3 days, and just had the best green beans. There's nothing like a green bean that you've harvested that day and you cook that night. And we just steam them and add a little butter and salt and on. Oh my goodness, that is just the best. And the best thing about that is we didn't plant them; they were volunteers.
Excellent.
We planted green beans last year. We planted them last year. And they reseeded themselves. They didn't even do it until halfway through the season this year.
Yep.
So we didn't start getting them until the last few weeks.
Right.
But they've twined up, and suddenly I've got this incredible crop of green beans, and it's a bonus.
Yes.
And that's one of the great things about gardens. Sometimes they reseed, and then you get them the next year. In fact, we had a couple of tomato plants that did that this year. I still have a tomato plant growing out of my compost pile right now.
Question, Mike. A volunteer plant, if it was growing in the middle of an alley, in the middle of an empty lot, would you still eat?
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Because, you know, they always say soil has to be perfect and conditions have to be perfect and get your soil tested. But if a plant is growing in the middle of an alley where, you know, who knows? Who knows what the soil is?
Well, first of all, it's going to get run down in the middle of an alley. But You're talking about probably, you're thinking lead contaminant or something like that. Here's one of the things about lead contamination in plants is that it doesn't go into the fruiting body. So you have to be more concerned about leafy greens that are in contaminated soil than you do about tomatoes and beans.
Really?
The beans and tomatoes tend not to take up the lead. And the whole science of determining how much lead is actually in plants is still kind of in its infancy. We don't know a lot about phytotoxicity, so we're finding out more and more about it. But the one thing we do know is that the fruiting bodies don't usually contain the lead. Now, the other thing you got to remember is, like, so let's say you have a ground crop like a beet or a carrot. The solution to that is peel it. Get rid of the outside lead. Most of the lead ingestion in kids and in adults comes from actually eating the soil, and meaning that the soil is still attached to the plant and not cleaning it properly. And that's where people get their most of their lead intake. That is the most common way that people get lead ingestion. So
if you clean your
vegetables, if you peel them, you're probably going to be fine.
Because I always think, you know, if you don't have the proper soil, it's not worth planting a tomato plant. You know, if you just have...
Well, you're talking about when the one's already growing and should I harvest? Well, obviously it was the right soil if it managed to drop a seed and grow. But certainly a compost pile like mine, that's pretty fertile stuff. So I sort of let it climb out of there. And I harvested a bunch of the tomatoes yesterday.
Hmm.
Some were green, some were red, but I thought, okay, let's cut some of these off and have them. I know, Robbie, you also wanted
Mike
to talk very briefly about the leaves.
Yes,
on the lawn.
Uh-huh.
Because it's a big deal. We've been talking. I'm sorry.
Go ahead. You're talking about leaves on the lawn.
Oh, okay.
Go ahead.
Yeah. We've been talking a lot about it on the show lately. People have this belief that if they leave their leaves on the ground, something bad is going to happen, especially on their lawns. Now, if you had a super thick pile of leaves and then it snows, it's going to mat down on it. And, you're going to create problems with your lawn. But there are studies that show you that a few leaves on the lawn don't do any damage at all. I pretty much let things fall where they are. I don't even shred them. The old advice used to be, you should shred your leaves. And I imagine that, again, if you have a really thick mat, you might want to try that. But the problem with shredding leaves is that that's where a lot of insects overwinter, and there are larvae and egg sacs. And so you're killing off things like fireflies if you're shredding everything and you're bagging it and you're taking it away to the landfill. See, just bagging and taking it to the landfill, I think, is nuts. So I try to... advise people not to do that.
You throw it in a compost pile, if you've got room, right?
What's that?
Rake them up and throw them in a compost pile if it's going to be too thick, or put them in your flower beds.
Sure, you can do that too. Rake them up, throw them in a compost pile. I rake them into my garden bed. So I leave the lawn a little bit clear. If some leaves fall on it, I don't really care that much. Mow your lawn shorter for the last mow of the season, and there'll be fewer diseases on it. And then you won't have as much of a problem.
Got it. Okay, Rich, you had a question?
I was just going to ask him if there's a process for ripening green tomatoes into red ones, like, you know, bananas in a bag or, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah, that helps. I mean, I've had mixed success with that, but that seems to be one way to go about it. And, you know, at a certain point, if it's not ripening, you have to think, well, that's it. We're done with that.
The reason I ask, because
you can get some ripening that way.
Okay, because east of our office there are tons and tons of tomato fields, so it's not unusual for me to be leaving work, especially this time of year, and see semi loads filled with tomatoes, and they're all green.
Mm-hmm.
So you know that's your.
Wait, see, that's because those are growing fields. They do that on purpose. That's the way they ship them. You see,
sure, you can't ship a red tomato with squashes.
Yeah.
Right.
So my question,
exactly,
how do you ripen them?
And so they ripen on the way to wherever, and that's, you know, and they're bred not only well, they're bred to be tough so that they can be shipped, which means that the taste has been bred out of them to a great degree, and that's why people grow their own tomatoes in their backyard, because they don't have to worry about shipping, and they're going to get good taste.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Excellent. All right.
All right. I know we're going to run out of time
yes.
here. I'm on my way to the Garfield Park Conservatory, where the second annual Chicago Excellence in Gardening Awards, presented by The Mike Novak Show on 1590 WCGO,
yep.
Chicago Smart Talk. You can catch us tomorrow, 9 to 11 a.m. I know that Ron mentioned it. But we're giving away 65 awards to gardeners from 33 different wards in the city of Chicago.
Wow.
It's going to be a great day, and we're very excited. And the second annual, the city stopped doing this about 2011, so we took over and said, okay, if you're not going to do it, my show is going to give them away. And we got a bunch of great partners like Illinois Extension and Natural Awakening Chicago, and Peggy Malecki is involved in this, and Kathleen Thompson, and a whole bunch of great people.
Excellent. And you're sold out for the Garfield Park, so if somebody was wanting to stop by...
No, you're not getting in there. Nobody's getting in there unless they got a reservation right now.
But they can stand outside.
They brought their friends, and they're going to hold up their awards and take photos.
Yes, but you can stand outside by the red carpet and watch everybody walk in, right?
Yes, you can.
Okay.
Yes, you can. We had to kick Kanye out of there.
Oh, really?
He wanted to get in, but I said, no, that's not going to happen.
Okay, so, nice. You know, you can show
and
up.
And for other reasons, too.
But you're going to have, you'll have the big procession. Everybody's coming through. The media will all be there taking pictures as you're walking into this event, correct?
That's awesome.
If you consider the media people with their cell phones, yeah, the media's there.
Excellent. All right. And this is at where? Garfield Park, you said?
Garfield Park Conservatory from 10 to noon. But like I said, it's sold out, so ain't nobody else getting in there. But we're going to have a great time. And so we'll be posting a lot about that at the Mike Novak Show on Facebook and in other places.
Okay, is there another place where people can find out information for next year so that they can get this entered?
Yes, go to Chicago Excellence in Gardening Awards on Facebook. Or the website, ChicagoGardeningAwards.org is the website. And, we want more. Now, right now, it's just the city of Chicago.
Right.
But we're hoping to expand it. Maybe someday we go out to Cook County, and then maybe someday past that. Who knows?
Well, that's a lot of work, though, isn't it, to do all that and put that all together?
Ron, it almost killed me, okay?
Oh.
It almost killed a bunch of us, but we're going to get through it.
Excellent. All right. Well, cool. It's the Mike Novak Show, 9 to 11 tomorrow. You can catch it on Facebook, on 1590, and stations across the country. So we appreciate your time, Mike. You have fun today. And we'll.
And don't forget to tell people to go to MikeNovak.net, MikeNowak.net.
Excellent. I appreciate your time, buddy.
All right, you guys have a good one. I'll talk to you soon.
All right,
thanks. Thank you, Mike Novak.
Oh, yeah, we could play that,
thanks,
too.
Thanks, Mike Novak.
Exactly. All right, we're going to take a quick break. We'll come back with your phone calls next. You are listening to...
Mighty House.
Thanks, Mike Novak. This is Mighty House. Mighty House will return. Come to save the day. This is Mighty House.
I didn't see them. Why do you need to start it on?
There we go. Now they're on. Randall?
Randall.
I saw the left hand. I didn't see the right. Because I was where the mic was. So I was looking for 5, and he hit the 5. I was like, okay, let's go. Well, I didn't know he was giving me 10. So it's all good, Meech. There, fresh meat. It was my fault. I gotta look better. So, cool. All right, you can join us on Facebook Live right now. Brought to you by Roofers and Waterproofers, Local 11, Smart 265, and Mr. Floor and Mag Erad. You can follow us on Facebook by looking for Mighty House Home Improvement Show, and our Twitter handle is at Mighty House. Of course, you can give us a call on the Mr. Floor helpline. It's 877-711-5611, and you will have a chance to win your choice of Mr. Floor cleaning products. They're all non-toxic and environmentally safe, And you can learn more at MrFloor.com. All right, we got a phone call to get to. And do you have that pulled up there, Fresh Meat? All right, go ahead. Who is it? What? Bob from Northbrook. You're on Mighty House. Thanks for hanging on.
Hello, it's Bob from Northbrook.
Hey, Bob.
Hi, Bob. Thanks for calling.
Anybody out there?
Yeah, we're here.
Calling the world.
Yeah, are you there?
I'm here.
Okay, go ahead.
Are you there?
We're here. You're there.
Okay.
Give us a question.
So during the commercial break, because they were talking about the P3 stuff. Yeah, for that. And I'm calling because it has to do with flammable vapors.
Okay.
And where might they emanate from?
Okay.
And that goes back to a warm car seat. Anyway, here's the point. When homes are being rehabbed, we're running into a lot of this, or people are sealing their floors, or people are doing all kinds of work.
Uh-huh.
On the water heaters that have power vents on them, the blower type.
Okay.
On the bottom, they put a flammable vapor ignition-resistant switch, and it has a certain amount of resistance on it. But the problem is, especially in new home construction, a lot of times people will take those water heaters downstairs or someplace, then they start sealing the floor, or they're doing other things where hydrocarbons are coming off or anything that it thinks might be flammable.
Uh-huh.
Maybe a person went by, depending on what they bought for lunch.
Okay.
I think it's flammable.
Right.
And the switch, it cuts out. Then the water heater has to be reset. A lot of times it needs a new switch. A lot of times people think it needs a new thermostat. So my point is, it is crucially important when these repairs are being done, it is crucially important to make sure that the water heater itself is either protected from the change in atmospheric composition. Otherwise, when the problem starts, immediately you got to call the manufacturer and they've got to start shipping out new parts, and it's a real problem.
Okay, here's what I've run into with those. When you go to replace, because it's a sealed combustion. Once you break that seal, it's really difficult to get that sealed back up again so that it works properly. How do you go about that?
Okay, the switch itself is on the outside because they've redesigned the water heaters from the original. They're up to now the, 400 series.
Okay.
On, let's say, one particular brand. But a lot of times now they're taking the switch itself, they're putting it on the outside. But when the seal has to be broken in the kit, there is a new gasket to reform the seal because that seal is essential to make sure that nothing can actually backflash out of the unit.
Got it.
Therefore, there is a way to ameliorate. Don't ask me how to spell it, but
okay.
Like the word. There is a way to ameliorate that, but it is just extremely important not to have it happen in the first place. It's just, we get calls. Sometimes it'll be 3, 4, 5 in the day.
Mm-hmm.
Because maybe they're doing 3 or 4 houses in a row down a street or something, and they're at that phase.
Right, right, right.
There it is.
Yep, and that could be off-gassing from paints and sealants, caulk,
so,
all kinds of things.
Is this on power vents only?
Yes, this is on
power. This is generally on the power vents because on the standing pilot ones, which, by the way, they have now gone from a 30 millivolt thermocouple. The new designs are about a 700 millivolt thermopile.
Uh-huh.
That's how they have those little flashing lights on the new Honeywell controls.
Okay.
On the standing pilot units, those don't trip because of flammable vapors. Those trip because the combustion chamber overheats.
Oh.
The combustion chamber overheats for a couple of reasons. There's a downdraft, an inadequate updraft. It's got limescale on it, so it radiates heat down. That'll trip the switch. But there's also a few other things, but the switch generally will trip because maybe somebody spilled gasoline on the outside and the vapors got pulled into the combustion chamber. That gives a super shot of heat. Then that at least puts the pilot out. Then because of the way the thing has the sealed combustion and a Bunsen burner type, that screening,
mm-hmm.
It doesn't let the flames come back out of the water heater.
Right.
So hopefully what happens is the flames stay contained inside the unit. And then the trip of the switch causes the pilot going out, So once the vapors clear out from there, there's nothing else to keep reigniting it, and then everything goes out.
Okay, so...
But it doesn't flash back, and it doesn't kill everybody.
If somebody's painting or working with flammable materials around the water heater, if we just turn them off before we start that work, does that save it so we don't have to mess with this thing again?
No, not on the power vents, unfortunately.
Really?
On the power vents...
Why? I mean, if you were to turn it off and shut the breaker off, it should be...
If it's off,
it'd be like taking it out of the box. It's off. I can't see why that would.
That's the problem. They'll fail even if they're in the box. If you take them down into the area,
wow!
All the vapors have to do is get to that switch,
and they smoke.
Whether
it.
The switch is on or off, it doesn't make a difference.
Huh?
The switch.
So it's a chemical reaction for that switch, not a
right.
That's just okay.
Yes.
Wow.
So it's not a power thing or anything like that. It's literally it senses
it's a chemical
the
reaction.
Hydrocarbons and causes it to. Disintegrate, which opens
it.
Or closes it.
Yeah. All right.
Right. Hey. It's kind of like if you use leaded gas with a catalytic converter,
uh-huh.
You poison the converter.
Right.
Once you get the hydrocarbons onto that switch or anything that's sensed as or it thinks is flammable, to put it lightly, the switch is going to trip.
All right. Hey,
so
Bob.
It's real important.
Hey,
yep.
Bob. I'm going to go wake Robbie up now. I'm going to wake Robbie up now.
I was doing Baby Shark.
I appreciate the phone call, and I just have one. I have one more thing for you there, Bob.
Nerd alert!
Yes, sir.
Thanks, buddy. I appreciate the phone call.
You got it. Have a good one.
You too. Okay. All right. Thanks. Bye. All right, John. John from Crest Hill. Are you there? Hey, John.
Hi, John.
Hey, John.
Hi, how you
John,
doing,
John, you
guys?
May be on Mighty House.
About,
go ahead.
About those green tomatoes.
Sure.
This is the best time of the year naturally get them, but put them in a brown paper bag
mm-hmm.
and in a cool, dry place.
Okay.
Dark, cool, dry place, like a closet, upper thing of a closet, so they stay cool, and periodically check them. Because naturally they'll ripen and then some will go bad. But if you periodically check them 3 to 5 days or something like that, you pick out the better ripe ones,
uh-huh.
and they're just as good as anything. And this is the best time of the year for them. And number two is fried green tomatoes. You just slice them and you bread them. Put them in breading and you fry them in butter. Oh, just lovely. It's the best time of the year for that kind of stuff.
Excellent. All right. Well, cool.
Awesome.
So we got to teach Robbie how to do it.
I've never had them.
Works great.
Say that again.
The brown paper bag works great
okay.
for the ripening, and they taste great. You know, it's the best time. And I'd go to that field and pick as many as I could to put them in there.
Yep. Yep.
I wish I had more people to give me green tomatoes.
All right. Well, that's it. That's what I did yesterday. We went out and. Cleaned them all up, knowing that the frost was coming. So
nice.
We got them all cleaned up. So now we just got to find a place to pass them out. So that's good. All right. Well, I appreciate the phone call.
Put them in. Okay.
All right.
Thank you.
Thank you. Bye. So we'll put them in a brown paper bag. We'll see. So
I'd heard that before, but I've never tried it, so I didn't know if it actually worked.
Yeah. No. So we'll actually maybe we should just I'll take some home and we'll try that too. So
yeah.
I don't know. I think I'll run them over to the local pantry, the food pantry there, and see if they can take them too. Because I got way too many.
Our world's all backwards down here. Like I grow tomatoes and stuff in the back of the house here during the summer, and it's not easy because of the heat and
uh-huh.
the sun reflecting off the house cooks them.
Oh,
but this time of year now we have all of our farm markets start up.
Okay,
you know, yours are all shutting down. Ours are actually starting up, and the snowbirds are coming down. So. I mean, it's amazing what you can go get the fresh produce because it's grown, you know, 10 miles east of here or so.
Sure. Yeah. And it's all farm fresh and ready to go. So,
yeah.
So you don't grow them over the summer? You grow them through the winter? Is that what it is?
No, we can grow them in the summer. We grow them both. You can grow them year round.
That always confuses me how there's a life to things. Tomatoes
sure.
grow and then they die. And here in the summer, it's all summer. We can't grow tomatoes in the winter, but you can grow tomatoes in the winter there. So you have to.
Because our climate doesn't change all that much.
But you have to
Oh, yeah. The plant only lives, let's say, 7 months. So after that, it's going to die and you can put another one in.
So you
can
always
replanting them.
Tomato plants year round. You can buy them in a garden center year round.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
That's just weird.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Well, they're constantly growing, and you just so if you just like every 3 months put a plant in, you're going to have tomatoes constantly, is what I just heard from you.
Right.
You know, because one's going to be dying off, and you plant the next one, and then if you've got three or four going, you're just always going to have tomatoes.
Right.
So. That's pretty cool.
All the new people who are watching.
All the new people on the Facebook.
Well, we have Lanny watching. He missed us. Happy anniversary, Lanny. But we have Jessica, and we have Nick, and we have Christina, all watching Baby Shark.
Oh,
Baby Shark, doo-doo.
Oh, please.
Oh. Like you guys, episode of Romper Room.
I know. These are all new people. So how did you guys find out about us?
Exactly.
Maybe you don't want to see Baby Shark, and I understand.
I know I don't want to see Baby Shark.
But coming up is Clutter Clarity, where we're going to sing.
Oh, we are?
So if you want to sing, stay tuned.
And then what is the topic for Clutter Clarity?
You know, I found an article on things to throw away that expire that you don't think they expire, and I want to open it up for conversation because I'm not sure about these things.
Okay.
We can't just keep throwing everything away.
No. No.
So some of these things really, you know.
I ate a bag of candy corn yesterday that you brought that was, I don't know, 3 years old or something.
It's candy corn. It never goes old.
It was really, really hard, but if you just kept it in your mouth for a while, it would soften up and then you could chew it up.
Yum. And then it lasts longer.
Yeah.
These things are nasty when they're fresh.
All right, we'll take a quick break. Be back right after this.
This is Mighty House. Mighty House will return.
Here they come to save the day.
This is Mighty House.
All right. Good job, Fresh Meat. We nailed it that time, brother. Podcasts of previous shows available at MightyHouse.net, Stitcher, iTunes, SoundCloud, and on HomeImprovementUSA.com. Find links to all of them at MightyHouse.net. And you can join us on Patreon, patreon.com/MightyHouse. And we have a tool giveaway, Klein Tools, that we give away every month. So you can sign up for $1 a month, support the show, and have a chance to win Klein Tools. So this last month, we had the Klein Tools Hybrid Pliers. And this month, the month of October, is going to be the NCVT-5, which Rich is riveted by that. That's the NCVT-5. Which
can you say that again?
NCVT-5, which is also known as the dual range non-contact voltage tester. So we'll be giving one of those.
What does it mean by dual range? 110 to 20?
It goes from 10 volts up to 220 volts.
Well, that's multiple.
Yes,
that's not dual.
Yeah. Well,
does it do AC and DC?
Yes. Yes.
So
dual volt. I'm so confused. So it's dual range.
Electricity is weird.
Yes, it's dual ranges. All so right. It has multiple ranges. So you can do 12 volt, you can do 120, all that.
My electrician, I had to do a QC walk on a house. We just finished. My electrician got mad at me the other day.
Yeah.
Because I made him move switches.
What?
So when you walk in the back door,
yeah,
the switch closest to the door should be your outside light.
Right.
The switch towards the inside should be your hall light. Right?
Yeah.
He had them reversed. So all I got to do is pull them out, switch them.
Swap them around. Yeah.
Swap them around. Put them in, like, at three locations.
Jeez.
And they're like mad. And I'm like, you're an idiot. I don't know how to say that in Spanish, but I think you got the point.
Yeah, exactly. All right. It's time for Clutter Clarity.
And we have a request for Robbie Shark.
No.
I say we
have
give
time for
the people
both, so you
what
have to
they
choose
want.
Clutter Clarity,
give
the sponsor segment,
I'm
or
sorry, Rich.
Robbie Shark.
I can't help it, Robbie Shark. Thank you, Jesse, for asking for Robbie Shark. Okay, go ahead.
Are we ready?
Yes.
You ready, Freddie?
Yes.
Okay, here we go.
Can't hear you, Rich.
You have a disarrangement disorder? Can't seem to get that jumbled hodgepodge pie of chaos in one place? Maybe it's time for a disposal, a little cleanup, a little eradication, evacuation, liquidation, and purgification. Here's Robbie with a tip on how to put some neatness into your disorder. This is Clutter Clarity on Mighty House.
Save me from this prison. Lord, help me to get away. Cause only you can save me now from this misery. I've been lost in my own place, and I'm getting weary. How far is heaven? And I know that I need to change my ways of living. How far is heaven? Lord, can you tell me?
All right. What I can tell you is Clutter Clarity is powered by Mr. Floor. Mr. Floor cleaning products are all non-toxic and environmentally safe. And you can learn more at MrFloor.com. And Clutter Clarity is powered by Mr. Floor cleaning products.
Awesome. Okay, so this week somebody sent me a Facebook post about things to get rid of. It's called 8 household
items. I thought you said 10.
I'm sorry, 8 household items that go bad or become dangerous. That was funny, Rich. Thank you. And this is from Money Talks News.
Uh-huh.
And as I was reading this, I thought, well, you know what? I just have to open this up to you guys to tell me what you
all
think. Y'all. Because, again, I am all about cluttering, getting rid of things that have expired or aren't useful. A lot of people now are telling me, I want to make sure they go to a good place. When you're getting rid of things, I want to make sure it's donated, it can be used, so on and so on. So then when I came across this article, I'm like, come on, these things can't really expire. So you tell me what you think.
Honey, cannot expire.
That's the only food item that I have read that never expires. That's
never.
The only one that honey never expires.
Right, unless it's not pure. If it's pure honey, it will not expire. But they have blends, and those blends then will turn to sugar, and you've got other issues there, but yes.
Yeah, when they thin it with corn syrup.
Yes.
This article says cleaning supplies. According to Good Housekeeping, cleaning supplies can degrade over time and lose their effectiveness.
Okay.
The plastic containers they're stored in may also affect their formulas over time. The magazine says you can use these rules of thumb when it comes to deciding when cleaning supplies expire. Laundry detergent, 6 to 12 months.
What?
I don't believe any of this. Fabric softener,
well,
1 year.
Well, I think what it is it's the chemical additives, the volatile organic compounds that evaporate out of it. So, you know, think about like ammonia. It'll dissipate, so your Windex is nothing but water and blue dye.
Okay.
Because the ammonia's evaporated.
Got it.
So I'll go along with that a little bit. But, you know, like laundry detergent, do you really think you're not going to use it in a year?
Right. cleaners with antibacterial ingredients, it says 1 year. Disinfectant says 2 year. Dishwasher detergent, 3 months.
Really?
And dish soap, 12 to 18 months. I'm finding it really hard to believe this. So if you want to comment, you can email me, robbie@mightyhouse.net, or you could call us, 877-711-5611, and talk to Fresh Meat.
Yes.
But or here's some other things.
Or you could just post it right there on Facebook Live.
On the Facebook, yeah.
Yes. Okay, so here's some other things.
Okay.
And this is a good topic also. But don't spend too much time talking about this, Rich, because Clutter Clarity is over in just a minute. Fire extinguishers.
Fire extinguishers should be checked and redone every year. They come in and they retest them at once a year, and then they're good to go. But you've also got the gauge on there. So,
but do you trust that?
The gauge?
Yeah, like I have one in my car on the between the seats.
Yeah.
And it still shows green.
Right.
It's been in there 8 years.
Uh-huh.
And it's one of the ones I recalled.
Yeah. Oh, so
if I have a fire, pull the pin, squeeze the thing, nothing happens.
Right. Yeah, so then it's no good. And if the smaller ones, they cannot be recharged.
Why are you getting rid of that? You said it was recalled, right?
It's more decorative.
Yeah.
Oh, jeez. Okay, so
it looks cool.
According to the International Association of Certified Home Inspectors, fire extinguishers expire, and they do this for a few different reasons. One common way is that over time, the seal on the neck will weaken and allow compressed gas to escape.
Right.
They've lost their pressure. They won't operate. They have expensive extinguishers that have expired, especially those designed for commercial use. Hyron can be refilled and resealed by companies who specialize in the service. Inexpensive models are disposable. We only have two minutes left, so I'm going to get to another one that I found very questionable.
Okay.
Motor oil.
It goes bad?
With the fluctuating cost of oil, it may be tempting to buy a lifetime supply when you find a great deal, but you could end up with oil that doesn't perform well if you pull out a bottle that's been in storage for years. Some oils have additives that can break down over time. In addition, open or unsealed bottles can absorb moisture. The shelf life may vary depending on the manufacturer. What?
Okay, Rich, no, go.
That's absolutely true. I'll do this as quick as I can. The additives are what break down. Even when you change the oil in your vehicle, the dirty oil, oil never loses its lubricating properties. It gets full of dirt.
Right.
And or those additives break down, the cleaners and stuff. So I would agree with that statement that you should not store oil forever.
Right.
I was just really surprised that it's going to make a difference.
But in a pinch, it'll work.
Yeah.
If it's a choice of not running with any oil in your engine or putting an old oil in, I'd put the old oil in.
Absolutely.
Now, there's one topic I'm going to get to after the break because it's something that comes up in my business all the time. People ask about this. But according to this article, bar soap. 3 years.
What?
Mascara, 3 months. I've heard about mascara. Most people keep it longer than that.
I keep mine longer than that, though.
Because they say every time you push the thing inside, you're pushing in bacteria and, you know,
that's okay.
Lipstick.
I keep mine around. I don't.
Deodorant. Come on. Bar soap is not going to go bad.
No.
I don't think so. It's going to dehydrate.
Dehydrate.
This is
We'll be back right after this.
Mighty House will return.